Welcome to Spark Your Fire Podcast, sparking your interest in Australian property and finance. Here's your hosts, Jazz and David.
G'day everyone, welcome to another episode of Spark Your Fire. I'm your host, David Shee, and with me today, just Jazz. And Jazz, I'm feeling a bit lonely today, to be honest. There's no guests, but having said that, you know, we are basically soldiering on with another part of our investor story. And this time we're circling back into Jazz's Frankston, in which we actually touched on quite a detailed last time in terms of why he bought it and, you know, all the good stuff, all the good secret sources which Jazz shared back in the days on why he picked that property in Frankston. So if you guys haven't checked it out, make sure that you look back in a couple of weeks' time. I can't remember the episode number, but the title is Why This Investor Bought in Frankston. But what we want to cover today essentially is what happened from that point onwards, because Jazz actually got more things and more lessons to be shared. So, Jazz, without any further ado, what happened on January 2019? What happened earlier this year?
So, January 2019, to be precise, the date is 7th Jan. Right?
Yep.
7th Jan, this property caught fire.
How?
So I got a call on 8th January in the afternoon, because I think it was weekend or something, and the property manager told me that your property, so it was rented through property manager, key point, important point to be made, property manager, right? So property manager calls me on 8th Jan around lunchtime, saying that there's a bit of a damage to your property, and it caught fire. I'm like, so how bad is the damage? She was a little bit nervous of telling me over the phone how bad the damage is. And she goes, look, there is a bit of damage. If you can come around, that would be great. And I was actually just entering the house when I got the call, and I took an exit door straight and back into the jumped on the freeway onto the site, and the whole house was actually burned down, 90% of it.
Wow. No wonder she doesn't want to tell you that over the phone. She says, come and see it yourself.
Exactly. So she was a little bit, she was worried that, oh, I will take it. So she was like, rather side kind of thing. She did a good job, to be honest. I have no, and we'll cover that story as well at some point. But so basically 90% of the property was damaged. How the property got damaged? There was some kind of domestic violence between the partners. And the guy decided to burn the house down, basically.
Oh, that's an extreme case, I have to say.
It was an extreme case. When the insurance assessor visited the site, he said that he's rarely seen these kind of cases. This is probably the third one in his lifetime that he's seen. The good thing is that no one got hurt, because it was a family with three kids. So on the 8th Jan, we reported, as I was driving onto the freeway, I reported to the insurance company that this is what's happened. Obviously, we all have got insurances in place, but I couldn't remember exactly what my insurance policy was. And then you know how you panic a little bit, whether did the insurance renew itself?
Yeah.
Was the amount right? Is the insurance company going to
cover everything?
Because it's intentional damage. So I was like, are they going to cover it? Was he on the lease or not? I couldn't remember all that stuff, because it's been 5 years I bought this property and it's the same tenant. So you tend to forget those things. They are become less important because it's going so well, right?
Yeah, set and forget, basically.
Exactly, right? So anyways, the insurer assessor came out to visit the site. The good thing is, the best thing that ever happened to me was, and I have to say this is the best thing that ever happened to me, that I actually was going through a property manager.
Yep.
Because the first thing the insurance company asked me was, are you in an arm length relationship with the
tenant?
The answer was yes, because I've never met the tenants, right? Secondly, they asked me that, are you going through the real estate company or property managers or directly? I said, it's to property manager. They're like, can we see the contract copy? So my property manager was very efficient on this one. They reported anything that the insurance company asked for, they provided them back to the insurance company straight away. Within the 24 hours, she had that information sitting in front of the insurer over the email. So that was a good thing. They even, in fact, went down and asked for the ledger to see whether the rent was being paid on whether the rent was being paid and whether it was being paid in full and on time and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So anyways, they asked a bunch of questions, which was send us your tenancy agreement, send us your ledger, send us your insurance policy, which they added. But I gave them all that information, or my property manager gave them all that information. We notified the council. We had to organize a temporary fence for it on the site, so no one can access the site, because obviously insurance company had to come and do their homework to find out what they need to find out to process the claim. And you have seen some of those photos anyways.
I know. So, I was completely shocked when I saw that. Yeah. It's pretty much in rubble.
It was, yeah, exactly. It was down the ground, right?
Down to the ground.
Yeah. The only thing that was left was just the front brick of the house. Everything behind the front brick wasn't there.
So, and it was a brick house, right?
It was brick veneer.
Yeah, I know. So it's like, oof, yeah.
So from there, the insurance thing started. To let our listeners know, the insurance company in this case was CommInsure. And
yep, so CBA. CommBank Insurance, yep.
Correct. All right, so David, we have covered in one of our previous episodes. I'm pretty sure there's three different kind of insurances that you need to have on your investment property for a normal residential home, which is your building, yep, content, and your rent cover, right?
Yep.
So I had all the three in place, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Now the next thing was whether the insurance company is going to cover me or not. So it took insurance company probably roughly from there 2.5 weeks. So towards the end of Jan, we are talking now. The insurance company, after they asked me all the relevant questions, they asked for the police report, they asked for the fire report, they asked for the tenancy agreement, the ledger, all that stuff. They actually impounded the phones of the tenants as well to verify that there was no messages between me and the tenants and what was going on between the tenants and all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
So they imported the phones. So they verified everything. It took them, it took probably 2 weeks for police to finalize the police report, right? Mm-hmm. And then once the insurance company had the police report in front of them, the case was pretty clear. The insurance company accepted the liability. So this is end of Jan. Insurance company has now accepted that liability, basically. So
right, they come.
Yeah. All the three types of insurance, building, content, and the landlord, were covered in this space, right?
Yep.
Once they got all the reports from the police, from the fire brigade, and from the property management team, and whatever they needed from me, there wasn't much that they needed from me, because all the information was coming from different places. I was just the landlord, basically.
Yes, that's right.
So it was not that much, in all honesty. I mean, outside of that, this happened, and it was stressful in general. There wasn't much for me to do as such in terms of providing the information, because they were getting information from all the sources.
So you got all the right team, and you got the property manager. Obviously, it's a very competent property manager looking after it and understand the whole process, getting all their documentations together. And basically, just the insurance company will just need to go through ticking off all the checklists that they need to collect, all the information to prove that you're a victim in this whole case, and you're obviously not related to tenant, or maybe put a bit of money for the tenant to actually burn a house down. Not that we recommend anyone doing so, but something that the police will have to investigate as part of the as part of their responsibility.
Exactly. So insurance company's point of contact was the property manager, and the property manager was running around getting whatever information was required. I was completely out of the picture. I do remember calling police station once just to ask them if they need me to come over there. But they said, "Now we don't require you. It's all good." So, and that's it. I didn't do anything outside of that except being stressed, right? So,
and how do you feel initially when you actually arrive at the site and saw the rubble?
I was in a panic mode at the time. Purely because I didn't know whether the insurance was going to cover this or not.
It was stressful.
Yeah, it was intentionally lit, right? And the house, it was a good house, right? I didn't have any emotional attachment to the house because I never lived there.
How much you're able to get back, essentially, and how much you're going to have to fork out of your own pocket, isn't it?
Exactly.
So from an investment perspective, that makes complete sense.
And on top of that, I'm not getting any more rent on that property. If the insurance covers me, I am out of pocket, basically. Till or however long the insurance company takes to cover, I'm out of pocket, right? So, and whether they will cover me or not was the thing.
So your rental loss is obviously now completely covered from the day that it was burnt down. Is that correct? That's part of the landlord insurance. Yeah.
So once they accepted the liability, the first thing the insurance company did was they gave me 2 months' rent in advance. So then they had to send out the building assessor to assess the site.
Mm.
In the comm insurer, assessor came out to visit the site,
yep.
And according to him, it was a write-off.
Yeah. It was,
so
90% has been burned down, so it has exactly. to be a write-off.
Yep, but in an extreme case like this, they need to take at least 2 more opinions from the builder.
Of course, yeah.
So they send out 2 building assessors to the site to understand the extent of the damage and whether it can be recovered or not.
Mm-hmm.
Both the building assessor came back and straight away said within a week, saying this site cannot be recovered. They accepted that the house is a total write-off. They looked at my insurance policy, the amount that I was covered for, right? And I was a little bit undercovered from the insurance perspective. But,
right.
I never knew that there was a 25% gap cover as well.
Oh, there was a 25% gap cover.
Correct. And the insurance company basically said that, look, you're a little bit underinsured over here. So what's going to happen is your 25% gap cover is going to kick in.
Yep.
And that brought me back more or less close to the amount what the developer came back with the cost to construct the building was.
Mm. Wow, so, that's awesome. And did you have to pay a gap fee or some sort to actually activate that?
There was no gap fee. There was just a normal $500 access that I had to pay.
Okay, yep. So the access, yep.
Mm. Yeah, so that was my access, so I paid that. Mm. Right? And that's not just for the building, that's also for the contents, right? So
right.
For both building and content.
And content. Wow. Now, that's when you insure this with CommBank, do you know there was this 25% gap policy in place?
I honestly, even after calling them for the first 2 weeks, I had no clue that I had a 25% gap.
So this is kind of like a pure beginner's luck to a degree.
Correct. Look, I've never been in that situation, right? So it was it's been a big learning
exercise
for me. They sent out a developer to confirm how much it's going to cost to develop the or put the site together back again.
Mm.
They came back with the amount, 25% gap cover kicked in. That covered me up completely because that was more or less the amount that the builder has said it's going to cost to put the site together back, right?
Right. That's awesome. That's awesome.
So anyways, once they got all that, that took another probably 3 to 4 weeks to get all those reports from the building assessor and then from the builder to confirm the cost of the building. Mm-hmm. Once we had that, insurance company worked out the claim amount, that this is what the payout figure is. So they had 3 different payout figures. One was, this is your building building cover, this is your content, and then we will cover you up for 12 months rent as well.
Yeah, wow. So everything is pretty much all covered. The amount of money that you get basically can build a brand new house plus buying some content. If you want it furnished, you can get it furnished. not in a luxurious way, but they cover the contents as well. So, and then on top of that, you got the landlord insurance kicking in to cover for the rental loss until the property is built and tenanted.
Up to 12 months, right? Yep. Yeah. So spot on. So they finalized those amount, which was now we are heading towards end of Feb kind of thing. First week of March towards the, second week of March, around 14th Jan, I had all those monies paid out into my account.
Oh, that is fast. That's fast.
What I did forget to tell you in between is, so yes, you're right. So I was very happy with the insurance company.
Fast payout, definitely.
Hats off to the comm insurer on doing that. Any cost related with the fence, insurance company was happy to pay that as well.
That's great.
So anyway, so I got a call from the bank after that. Bank's credit variation team gave me 2 options. One is, do you want to take a construction loan from us, which will come out of this insurance money? And anything over and above, you'll have to pay out of your pocket. Anything under will just reduce your loan amount, right?
Yeah.
Option 2, make sure the loan-to-value ratio is 80%, and we can let the sums go into your account, and you can decide whatever you want to do with it.
A lot more, I guess, with option 2, it makes sense because you get a lot more control in that.
Exactly.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Oh, knowing the market currently, the market, obviously the Victorian market, is probably not the best time to do any kind of transaction. So I was like, I don't want to build on this property straight away. And plus, if I put a new house on this property, then my investor hat, if I wear that for a second, it doesn't stack up to build a nice house on it and then rent it out. So, you know, the normal investment story, basically.
Exactly.
It doesn't. So it doesn't stack up from the investment perspective. So it was pretty clear to me, very obvious to me, that I'm going to go with option two within a minute. I didn't even have to think about it. That was just more of my knowledge that I had in the space saying, let's just go with the option two, clearly.
I thought you would.
So anyways, the bank informed the insurance company. Insurance company paid the money to the bank. Bank released that money into my account. 14th March, the insurance claim is fully settled now, right?
Excellent. Big chunk of money into the bank.
Which created its own problems. So that's the story, right? The good thing out of the story is that no one got hurt.
Yes, that's very important.
And I was fully covered. The sad side of the story is that there was a lot of stress to be taken.
Mm.
And along with that came some more complications, which is I never knew, David, that the actual money that you receive from the insurance, that you have to pay capital gains on it.
Capital gains tax.
And it apparently triggers on the day, from the day it hits your bank account.
Oh.
So, each day it hit my bank account. So the CGT event has been triggered now.
Oof.
I think in the tax language, they call it C1. So the next thing I had to do was start speaking to the accountants.
To work out how you can minimize that capital gains tax, right?
Correct.
Because otherwise, most of it would actually go to ATO rather than your pocket.
Correct. Yes. Started talking to my accountant. So we're still working with the ATO on those side of things. So we don't have the full story or the picture clear yet. But I think we're close to finalizing that as well.
And again, that's it's general advice here. And we're talking, you know, if you want to know a bit more about these cost base stuff and how CGT is calculated, please seek specific advice from your own tax accountant. Everyone's situation is different. So what Jas is sharing here is just based on his personal experience.
And this is completely different for each individual. So.
But also, I guess once you got the ATO ruling, next time potentially we can bring your tax accountant coming into the onto the show as well. And you know, he's qualified to be able to give specific accounting advice, and certainly be able to give a lot more detailed information in terms of how we can minimize CGT in your scenario. So I think it's good. No, thank you for sharing, Jas. I think that's fantastic. What would be the three biggest takeaways out of what you have done so far? Throughout this experience?
Well, have a property manager, have the right insurance in place.
Have the right insurance, yep. Ask to see whether they got a gap.
With the right company, don't go with the cheapest company. Look for the. I'm pretty happy with CommInsure, so I went back and looked at all the premiums once again for the other properties to make sure that I was fully covered, right? So have the right insurance company under your belt. I didn't have any relationship with the tenant. That's probably the third tip that I can give it.
Very good. That's very good. Thank you, Jas. I think that's an amazing story, I have to say. I certainly hope that no one has to go through that kind of exercise. But in your scenario, I consider yourself pretty lucky, I have to say, because all the ducks are pretty lined up. As you said, you don't actually have to do a lot in terms of the investigation, in terms of providing evidence, providing supporting documents. Like your PM's definitely on the ball. Police will do their job. CommInsure has got you fully covered. So from an outcome perspective, it's really just an emotional up and down and the stress of thinking until end of Feb whether you will actually get fully reimbursed or not and how much potentially out of pocket you need to be. But from an end perspective, you've ticked all the boxes, you've done all the right things, it was a good outcome today.
So that's that. The other good thing out of this was basically, just to wrap it up before we go, is that land is subdividable. So but we'll discuss that when we discuss it in future.
We'll run that through next time.
Awesome. It's always good to have everyone on the show. Hope you guys are enjoying the content. If you are, don't forget to give us a 5-star rating and let the word spread like a fire. Thanks, Jas and David. Bye.
Bye.